Welcome to Raising Your Spirits. Our hope is to help you make positive changes by providing guided messages from spirit. Tuning forks, crystals, and distance healing are how we pass those messages from spirit to you. Sit back, relax, and enjoy your vibrational growth with us. Your host for Raising Your Spirits, Tony Jinnis.
Welcome to another edition of Tuning In with Tony. We're going to be talking about one of the things that I think a lot of people would like to know more about, or sometimes less about, depending on what perspective you're on. But it's about the unknown and why we fear it so much, why things are the way they are. So we're going to take a deeper dive in that today. This show has been brought to you by Higher Self. It's a series of teachers have been brought together to in some way try to find different ways to try to get you to raise your vibration, to look at the things in your life in a different perspective the way spirit sees it. Some of the things that we do is that we give readings, because that will change your vibration, thinking that you know the truth about one thing and then something else comes in and it totally, you didn't expect it. Or you can come in for a tuning session. We use tuning forks and different vibrations to calm the body down so that your internal gyroscope can take over from there. We can do it through many classes. Feng Shui, we can do it, the different energies in your home. We have angel card reading classes that we can use to how to get a reading on yourself. And we touch on how to give readings for other people as well. We have different types of tuning fork classes. One is for the masses. It's a self-tuning class where we use three different tuning forks. So let's get right into our topic, the unknown. The definition itself means not familiar. When we're in a state of the unknown, it's a place where you haven't been before. You know, society has done an amazing job in making it so that we fear this. We fear the unknown. Even though you may be in a place where it's not so great and then the unknown comes to you, one of the first things that a lot of us keep in mind is that, well, maybe it could get worse because we don't think it could get better. All these unknown voyages, we're like, what is going on with that? But really, in reality, there are two sets of unknowns. The one unknown, let's say you're near a home, instead of going all the way around the block, there's an area that you can sort of cut through, a shortcut sort of thing. It saves you like 15 minutes of walking. In doing that, you're fine. You do it every day and it's all fine. But then there's one day in particular where it doesn't feel so fuzzy walking down that alleyway or that shortcut. Something's telling you, just go around. It'll be better. You know, so we just feel sort of it's an unknown. But what that is nothing to do with fear. That's to do with your instinct. All of us have it. Some have it and they're more sensitive and they're more pronounced for some because they can feel it a mile away because they're always practicing it. And others feel it when it's really a 911, when the train is just about running over you. Then we move over to the side. There's an element of danger there and it's real. And so this is where we need to look at. That's an unknown. But that's not the unknown we're talking about today. The other unknown is just something that is not familiar. Something that is, I've never experienced before, but how do I get through this? How do I know that this unknown isn't a trap or isn't something that is going to create a havoc in my life? Even though that there's a lot of changes going on in the world, I mean, you could just read the news. There's so much going on, not only politically, but physically, the earth is shifting in so many ways. There's going to be more tremors, going to be more earthquakes and tsunamis in the coming couple of years because the earth is shifting quite rapidly. It's getting to a point where we call it, it's fifth dimensional. So what that means is that up to the last several million years, we've been a third dimensional planet. In other words, we have the dimension where you have to feel things and then you know it's real. When we get into fourth dimension and that kind of thing, it's more about we just sort of feel that something's coming. We have no evidence whatsoever to prove that something will come. These are where premonitions come from. People are sometimes really good at that. They'll know that it's not going to be very good weather over the next few days, or they attest it to the fact that their knees are sore. Whatever antenna that your body sets up lets you feel that pressure, then that's what it is. In some cases, when we look at how the earth is changing, the planet is shifting, we are also shifting with that as well. Also, that is the animals. The animals are shifting, the plants are shifting, everything has this incredible shift of getting to this higher dimension. in doing all of that, the lower energies or the low energies, heavy ones, they are also ascending. Most that they can do in terms of that ascension is to get to fourth dimension. So what does that mean? Well, it means that, let's say you need to take a class, for instance. You want to sign up for classes and you feel that maybe I should do that class. And then another voice says, right now we might not have the time and maybe the costing isn't what you want. And, you know, there's always an excuse. It's nothing wrong with any of those. It's just that sometimes we come up with excuses. And that's fourth dimension where you feel you need to do something. But then because of that energy that is now in fourth dimension, it'll give you all kinds of doubts not to take that course. Because it knows if you do take it, you're going to grow in some way. The more that we grow, the more that we ascend into this higher vibration. And it's only when we could say, yeah, I'm getting all of those things too, but I feel it's what I need to do, and I don't know why. That's fifth dimensional. When you just do it, despite the fact that you're getting various conflicting thoughts, either from friends or just within you, if you're feeling that it's not what it is, then we connect to ourselves in a different way, but we always are guided so that we are always on that path. Dr. Lisa Miller, she's a New York professor and a well-known author. She says that when we have the experience of the unknown, we usually will feel anxiety. We'll feel fear. We're going to feel that we're suffering in some way, and it always leads to depression. The fact that I know I need to do this, but I'm not ready, or I don't want to do it right now. Like, what could I possibly gain? You know, when there's something really, really good for you, it will never show itself as it's going to be a benefit until after you're in. I'm not sure if you've noticed that. Let's say you meet a person at a party, and you can't get their vision out of your head, right? It's just like, why do I might keep thinking about this person? So there's something deeper going on in terms of what I need to do at this time. So when we don't take any action, that's when depression comes in because you feel this heightened excitement. That's what they call it, because when you get this higher vibration, it's very close to fear, but it's really a hyper sense of joy, of excitement, right? And so when we do that, and we don't act, then we feel like, oh, what's wrong with me? How come I can't move? I can't get motivated. I don't want to do anything. And that's when depression sets in because you were guided to do something. And for whatever reason, you're listening to the wrong voices or you're following the wrong guidance. And so that's when you need to take stock in saying, who am I following or what am I following? I should be following myself, whatever I want to do. It's when other human things come into play. Well, you know, think about the kids. I mean, you could imagine all kinds of stories regarding people that are living in a low income housing and the person has two, maybe three jobs and can barely afford a babysitter for their children. And it's just maybe a single mom or a single dad or like they're really having a tough time. And then all of a sudden he says, you know, I got to get out of this. I'm getting out of this. This is quite a rat race. Each month I'm getting lower and lower in my vibration. I don't feel well. I'm putting in all kinds of hours. And that's when they say, maybe I should stay overnight or do something in the evenings, maybe take classes or something, maybe take an accounting class or some kind of a class that I really feel good about that I could maybe make some extra money after when I graduate a certain designation. And so they'll go through maybe a year, a couple of years, maybe 3 years before they actually get that, only to get a great job, and now they can provide for their family in a better way. But that is not going to be apparent at the beginning. You'll feel it that it will be good, and won't it be great once I become a certified accountant or certified whatever it is that I'll be able to make more money and provide myself and my family with more. But negative energy does that all the time. You know, take this job and there's an extra $10,000 signing bonus. Or do this and that there's always a bonus. And it's really getting our distraction away, and white light doesn't work that way. It doesn't. It doesn't have to sell itself. In other words, if you want something and you feel really excited to do it and you have no reason why, then the only thing that's standing in your way is you. Because it's showing that I need to do that, but it's an unknown. How am I going to be able to do this through all those couple of years? I mean, I'm struggling as it is, and now I have to spend time with training and doing all these other things. How am I going to do this? And it's when you say, you know, it doesn't matter. I just see myself at the end of this, receiving my diploma or my degree or whatever it is that you want to train for and you want to get better at. And then when you finally make it there, that's when it becomes apparent. This is a real thing. And then somebody gives you the job you've always wanted. It's like you look back and you say, I don't know why I didn't see this before. It was so obvious. We're looking back, right? Just realize that white light, energies that are for your higher good, will never wave dollar bills or will never wave a benefit to you before you start. There'll always be doubt. And that is the point. Because if you're feeling it, then you should ask yourself, why am I feeling this? Who's sending this? I don't get excited for nothing unless it's something that's important to me. So what makes it that important? What makes it so that it is all of a sudden so important? But it's where these are going, and when we feel that fear, what is it that is holding us back? Now, realize one thing. There are people that are living in those kinds of conditions where it's a low energy, but they're perfectly happy. Like, there's no way that I'm going to go in and try and sell a feng shui package to a person that's happy in their own environment, even though I could see a plethora of things feng shui-wise that I could improve. Because who am I to say that you're not happy? So as long as you're happy being in whatever condition you're in, you're good. But it's only when we want to be more, we want to accelerate more, we want to go to a higher vibration, that's when the problems start. That's all the same time as we start doubting, my Lord, did I make the right decision? Like, I was pretty good before, but now that I'm training and doing all these other things, there's so many other problems I'm coming up with that I never expected. And so we doubt. We are uncertain. Is this the path? But in something that is real, it's inside of you. It'll keep showing you that this is the right path. Just keep going. I had few of those kinds of things during my moving business when I was building that up. At one point, we were losing money hand over fist. And my wife came to me after a couple of years of doing this business, and we were losing money every month since we started. And she says, we can't keep doing this. We got to get a job or something because we've pretty much depleted all our savings. We've cashed in a lot of our RSPs, and the list goes on and on. But I kept seeing in my head, I could see that this will work. I could just see it. There's just something, and I couldn't prove anything. I could prove nothing. I couldn't show where we could go, and I could just see unbelievable. And it's way beyond positive thinking. So don't get the idea that I did all these affirmations. I did some, but not as much as you might think, because I was pretty powerful in terms of my attitude then as well as I am now. I just saw a vision and it just wouldn't let go of me. It wouldn't let go of me. All I could see was success in every way. I had the choice to stop, but I chose to keep going. And it was only after a series of things happened that the business did start turning around. And in time, we were making $50,000 a month profit. Like, who could see that? I had no idea it would be that much. But it's all about a vision. And even though my spouse, the person that I had my children with, went the other direction. She says, you have to go and get a job. You got to do things. And I disobeyed her. I went against our wedding vows. But the idea is that there has to be something in you that's driving you. And that's what you need to find out, because there's going to be tons of unknowns and there's going to be tons of fear. And it's all scary, isn't it? Let's look at the reality of this. Let's go with a job. Let's say you want to get a better job. Well, isn't that scary? Because that means I'm going to have to train and get other things. Well, training is going to be scary. Well, what if I don't get the job? Well, that's going to be scary. Because now what am I going to do? Well, what happens if I do get the job? Well, that's going to be scary because now I got to keep up. I got to work extra hours. And then what's going to happen if I get various contracts? So in other words, everything can be in that sort of scary mode. But let's not confuse being scary with being hyper excited. I relate to that. I get hyper excited a lot. I get excited over the littlest thing. And that's because over the years, I've conditioned myself to look for the good. And even if there's 400 things wrong with something, I'll say, hey, that's my favorite color. That's what I want. So I don't see anything other than what I'm looking for. And I'm always looking for expansion. I'm always looking for people that can talk expansively. I'm always looking for projects that just blow up because I've showed up, because it's waiting for me. Now, maybe it would have gone very well even without me, but you know, I have to have a little bit of an ego to say to yourself, we got to get involved with this project so that they can become successful. I got a few projects like that on the go where they're having a really tough time and I'm involved and I'm saying to myself, because of my light, they're going to prosper. I'm not doing it selfishly. I'm doing it to help other people. And Spirit will pay it in other ways. But I remember this one animated movie. I'm not sure if you've ever seen this. It's called Ants. It was an animated movie a number of years ago by Walt Disney or Pixar, I think it was. And at one scene, it showed that there was about like thousands of ants going in a line, like literally single file, thousands of ants on this line, like really long line. And there's a space in between each ant, eh? So they're all marching single file, you know, going to where they're going to go to, where all the food is. And then a leaf comes out of the sky and it lands in between two of the ants, right in between. And the ant that sees the leaf, he says, oh my God, I'm lost. It's like you were just in front of somebody and a leaf went in your path and you're lost. And I think that's a sort of indicative of many people on this earth. There's a lot amount of our population that has to be guided by other people. They got to do all the thinking for them and they just let them. You can pretty much tell them anything and they'll do it. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but they don't have like a validation part of them. Like there are some things that I follow. But the moment I feel that that's not for me, then I have the sense that, okay, if something's blocking my path, what's going on? No, no, keep going. It's okay. Just walk over the leaf, you know, in this example, right? So in other words, they're looking at the fact that it's sort of a bummer that this person can't come in. But I look at the deeper part is, hey, is this person even supposed to come in? And I was getting a no. He's a nice guy, but it's not what the project needed. No offense intended, but it was just that some people are good at some things and some people aren't. So when we look at the different factors of anything, let's say we think we're on the wrong path, what's the first thing you hear when somebody says to you, are you on the right path? Because maybe you're on the wrong path. I get that a lot, actually. If you're looking like those ants going single file, and if you go off the path, reaction's a little different. When you veer off, there's all kinds of negative things that happen. When I veer off something else, all of a sudden I get something like I'm more free. I feel that this is the path I need to be on. So in other words, we're all on the right path. We can never veer off unless you choose to be following earthbound paths where you're taught to do a certain thing a certain way and don't change it. And if you stay on that path and you veer off it, well, there's going to be, oh, well, you can't do that. That's not what it's done. So if you're following that, it's going to be frustrating because then you're tied into a limitation and you're forced to be in a wall of four sides and this is your limit. It depends what you're really focusing on. There's also unlimited and unknown factors about relationships, isn't there? Sometimes, you know, you'll get a couple that's been going together for 3, 4, 5 years. Still, no date is set for their marriage or if they want to go into any further. Regardless which one it is, oftentimes it's the guy, but I've seen women also hesitate because they've had a very, very challenging past and they don't want that to continue. There's more hesitation, let's say. When you talk about not things that have happened to you, because the assumption is that my past is my future. I know that seems very simplistic, but I mean, if you've been really poorly treated as a child, and then in your teenage years, you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and they treated you very poorly, and the pattern keeps continuing on to early 20s, and you had a relationship there, was also very poor. Well, now you've got sort of a lot of examples, and it's still going to this day. So if I choose anything, it'll probably continue, right? No, because when we're looking at the unknown, part of the thing is we are resisting moving forward. Sometimes I'll get asked to do a reading, and somebody will say, I'm thinking of marrying this person, and what are you getting? Is it going to be good for me? See, that's a loaded question. When someone says that or something of that nature, I get the reading of whatever spirit is telling me. And even if this person won't be married to this person very long, the reason they need to be with that person is because there are certain triggers in that person that needs this person to keep pushing them. Let's say you always have a good nature about yourself. You want to do other things for other people, and there's never anything for you. And then you get a person that is constantly controlling you, and you just let them. And there are people that do that, right? You just let them. Yeah, they'll figure it out. He's a good provider, so he's a good man, or he's a good woman, she's a good woman. And it doesn't go very well because you're not doing anything. You're not activating yourself. If part of your destiny has to do with you got to wake up and you've got to now speak for yourself, stand up for yourself, and be who you are yourself, in a loving way, they will match you up with someone that the relationship will eventually not work. Because what is your threshold? Some people will make it a year before they have to take all of the abuse, whether it's verbal or physical or whatever. The verbal is probably worse because the physical, all those things will mend. But mental abuse and the emotional abuse, you know, sometimes they'll last for decades. So when that happens, what do you do? How much tolerance will you have for this person to finally say, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to choose myself and I'm leaving this relationship? Because that's what you're supposed to do. If you would have gotten Mr. Right or Mrs. Perfect or whatever you want to call it, you'll never learn that. Does that make sense? In this way, it's not so much having a great life, but having a life that is purposeful. And they'll always match you up with somebody that if you have a lot of triggers, things that you'll let it go because they've been disrespectful to you and you let it go. It's okay. He's only just joking. I know he called me incompetent in the kitchen. I do things. I'm always so clumsy all the time. He's just joking. You will be matched up with a perpetrator. Absolutely. Somebody who will press your buttons every day. How long will you take that? Because Spirit knows there's an expiry date on that for sure. And it's only when we say, okay, that's enough. I'm done. I'm not going to let people talk like that to me again. But sometimes that takes 15, 20 years, unfortunately. I had a lady quite some time ago, was 25 years in that abusive relationship. Then finally she says, okay, that's enough. Well, 25 years would do it for me. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't take it for more than a week, really, because the nature that I am in, I only am surrounded by love. And when I get that, I don't know if I could last much very long. So it's not about strength or about what's better or not. It's that what is you willing to tolerate? Who the kind of person you are that will let yourself be abused that often, again and again and again? When will you stand up for yourself? That's the trick. That is the lesson. So it's all about lessons. Now, once you've learned that lesson, it's only then that you'll find this amazing man or this amazing woman, and you'll say, where have you been all my life? But you never would have appreciated that person without this other. So when I get a reading, is this person good for me? I'll say, I'm getting a yes. Not because you'll have a great life, but because it'll teach you something. Because nothing else will. If they give you Mrs. Perfect or Mr. Perfect now, what will you learn? Because this person will treat you right. I mean, it's great that you feel good when people are treating you well. If people are respecting you and loving you and thinking about you, of course it's good to feel good. But do you still feel that way if someone's not doing those things and being disrespectful in front of people, telling everybody your sex life? That's a big one. I heard that the other day. It was livid and the person didn't say anything. This is an intimate thing. And shared it with his friends. Ah, it's okay. The guys are just laughing at, you know, they don't know anything. Like, how long will that go on? Because it is all about the respect. When we let it go, that's the lesson we need to learn. So if you are resisting these lessons, and this is it, when you're looking at that kind of a relationship, let's say you're about to go into, and it's an unknown, go anyway. Because everything has something to do with something in the unknown. And it's not like a danger unknown, like we shouldn't walk down this alleyway. It's more of a, I just don't know what's going to happen. Well, if you're getting pushed to do that, just go ahead, even though it may not be very nice in the beginning, it is about lessons. And when lessons become less and less and you learned it and you now are preaching it and you're living by it, I won't have anybody that I'll associate with that isn't loving me or supporting me in some way, protecting me. You need that, especially women. Men need it too on occasion, but many women do need that. They need that assurance that their spouse got their back. Their spouse is doing what they can to make you feel safe, to make you feel that you could do what you want. They're not trying to control you, not telling you, well, you can't go out like that. I don't want you to have any lipstick. I don't want you to go out and have other guys look at you. It's not about you. In other words, there's that control, and you got to call me every half an hour to tell me where you are, and I'm going to be checking your phone so I have the GPS on. Whoa, hold on. So how long will that go on before you say anything? So I think it's more about that. It's that unknown that we usually go to, but it is essential when you are going through those kinds of things. There's always going to be bruises, mental bruises or emotional bruises maybe, or scars or wounds. It's essential to have those because that is where exactly where you need to look in the healing process that you're going to be in. I was reading a poem from Rumi. He's one of my favorite authors and poets. And he says, wounds are necessary because it is precisely the location where the light needs to shine in. Isn't that beautiful? A wound is something that light is showing itself. It needs to shine in that area. So it depends on where those wounds are. If it's an emotional wound, where do you feel this? So take a deep breath and think about whatever it is that's bothering you. And you'll know in like literally seconds where that wound is. Could be in the heart, could be in the stomach, could be in the adrenals, could be in the back, whatever it is, but you'll feel it. You'll just know something's there that you need to address. So that's what another thing, we need to look at the part of looking at something and it's scary, looking at the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen down there if I venture into this direction. So it's scary. And I think we need to sort of substitute that word for excitement. It's exciting. When you say it that way, it doesn't feel as dangerous, right? It's really exciting going down there. It's going to be exciting getting married. It's going to be exciting with this new business venture. It's going to be exciting meeting my girlfriend's parents for the first time. Oh, that's going to be exciting. All right. You know, when we use that excitement part, it opens up a whole different amount of things that are really triggering us. Because what is it that is really that we're fearing? Are we fearing the darkness so much? Is that what we're doing? Because I was looking at another poem, and I think all of you have heard this one at one point or another. It was from Marianne Wilkins Williamson. And she says that our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are all-powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. So when we look at the unknown, is it really that dark? Or do you think you're not ready to be amazing and find different ways that you're going to see yourself, the warrior in you is going to start coming out? I've seen some amazing warriors come out of the nicest people, and they're soft and they're softly spoken. They don't see anything. But when push comes to shove, this energy comes out of them. And it's because it's been so tough on them. It's because everyone's saying something can't be done and they do it anyway. This energy comes out of them, and it would not have come out had they not gone down this path of being in the unknown. That everything is uncertain, and they move anyway. You got my hat tipped off. You are an amazing energy if all these things are against you and you still stick a step forward. You got to give yourself a pat on the back for that. These are the people where millionaires come from. These are people that are self-made people that there's no way that thing will back them off. And there's warriors that come out of these very soft-spoken people. And I've seen it in so many times. And it's not the big 6'8" guy that's all full of muscles. In fact, it's the opposite. Those are the first to go down. They're the first to go down because up to this point, they've let their size and their voice to govern that they're powerful. But as soon as push comes to shove, they're the first ones on the ground. Maybe that's where the term came from, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Sometimes these 4'8" ladies and men that you push to a certain point, and then all of a sudden it's like this warrior comes out, and when that comes out, you don't want to be around. It's an amazing energy because it's all about love and it's all about looking at things in a different way. It was a Jim Rohn that said at one point that you don't wish for a good life or things to be easy. Instead, ask for you being better. Ask for opportunities for you to be better, to get those higher skills. Don't wish for less problems. Wish for more skill. Wish for a better disposition. The only time we get the unknown in front of us that isn't sort of that danger part of it, you walk into the woods and then you hear a crack in the woods and there could be a bear. Like, that's not the unknown I'm talking about. Because that, you feel that there's something in there that's dangerous, and your instinct take in. And everyone has it, and everyone will get signaled that, okay, there's something going down here, and it's safety related. But if it's not that, it's just an unknown thing that you're going to venture into, whether it's a new relationship, a new city, a new business, a new project, whatever it is. And you have this, you know, I have an unknown. That only comes to you when the piece of you is on the other side. When there's a different version of yourself, it is always, always, always hidden in the unknown, because that's where the growth is. There is not growth where there's light. There's growth in you getting on your hands and knees in the dark and finding your way through the woods and finding that you could do it. There's a tribe, the indigenous, and I can't think of the story right now, but essentially what it was in this particular culture, the young men, when they turn 13, there's a custom that they have to go into the woods on a stump and stay the whole night blindfolded. So imagine how scary that is. So this one young lad turns 13 and he says, "Oh, you know what you have to do now, son?" And he says, "Yeah." He gets into the woods and he blindfolds his son. He says, "Okay, I'll be back in the morning." And then he walks off. From there, it's dead silence. Through the night, he hears little noises in the woods. And so by next morning, this 13-year-old realizes, okay, it's morning. He can look down and he can see that the sun is out. So he takes off the blindfold. And what does he see? His dad waiting, protecting his son, and not saying a word. Because he knows that if he can get through this, that strength of the warrior will come out when it needs to. That's when he's a man. Now, we have different ways of doing that in our own culture, but this is one culture that story sort of popped out at me. Is the fact that we have so many energies around us that is there to protect, but they're silent. And sometimes we think there's nobody there. Like, there's nobody got my back, no human anyway. But maybe your mom or your dad on the other side, grandfather, uncle that passed away years ago, there's no way they're going to leave you alone. And they're going to stay silent. And you think you're alone. And sometimes we make the misconception that nobody cares, nobody looks after me, no one supports me. But we always forget the fact that sometimes in spirit, your ancestors are right there. And many of you have a lot of ancestors. You know, I have seen up to 30, 40 ancestors come in for a tuning session. And it's like, wow. He says, "What?" And I says, "You got quite the family." I've had big family when I grew up. We had our wedding and it was 250 of our closest relatives. We couldn't even invite everybody. So in other words, the unknown always has a piece of us on the other side, because growth requires pain. It requires healing and all of that. And that's where we need to look. Your pain is not the enemy. It is your guide showing you where to start setting your boundaries. And that's really what it's all about, is finding out what is essential for you. Just realize this, the most unknown person that you know, it will be you, will always be you. And it's going to those unknown places that you will start collecting the little pieces of you to make you more whole. After this day, I'm hoping that you'll look at the unknown as something to go to, not to avoid. Because it's part of you. There's something in the unknown that you're going to be attached to that will make you grow. In this meditation, I've chosen the most unknown thing that we know. A while back, I got channeled to do a special segment on stargates and planets. In one particular instance, I had about 40, 41 of those different planets that NASA was able to record different frequencies of that planet in other galaxies. They were able to capture the vibration of that. So I collected about over 40 of them and placed them all. So you're going to hear different sounds every 15 to 20 seconds. And that's a different planet going through a different galaxy in a different place. And this is a little bit like you because you're just as expansive. You're just as expansive as space. That's why I chose this, because it goes to various places. It's going to start off in Earth, in the vibration there. It'll go through the whole galaxy system of the ones we've selected, and then it'll come back to Earth. Take a deep breath of the color purple. Big, deep breath of purple. Get relaxed. As you start drifting, just simply ask yourself, who am I? Show me what you see, or show me how brilliant I am on your side. Let's see what happens at the end, okay? Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Raising Your Spirits. If there is a subject you would like to hear in a future podcast or would like to book a session with Tony, reach out at lovehigherself.com. Join the Facebook group, Tuning In with Tony, or attend group tuning classes with Tony in his online virtual weekly classes. You could also access the YouTube channel, Raising Your Spirits with Tony. Until next time, namaste.